Ain't that the way? God takes and spreads the body of all over the place on this planet and gives us opportunity to visit each other and see each other once in a while. But what he's doing, he's not too worried about, is it comfortable for you? You know, do you get everything you want? What he is saying is, I've got plans for you folks. Plans to prosper you. Plans to make your life such that you will honor God and be beholden to him and thankful to him for all that he gives us. Went to see a movie the other day. Now, please, people, don't let this get around town. I went to see Downton Abbey. Oh, Downton Abbey. Downton. That's the way the English say it. It talked about servanthood. Servants had their titles, they had their duties, they were trained in certain ways, they had capabilities, natural capabilities and things. They had all that going for them, and they were servants. And God's done the same thing with us. He has given us capabilities. He's given us tasks. He's given us abilities to be able to do things that he wants to be done for the body of Christ in the kingdom and among the Gentiles, among the non-believers. He has a place for us. Why? Because he wants to get things accomplished. And that thing is bringing us to Jesus Christ and the salvation that comes through him. Now we look at serving, and I know Jeff mentioned that in the bulletin that we're going to have next Sunday. There are going to be soups and things like that going on. Well, people keep wondering, well, what can I do for the church? How can I serve? Well, that's a great opportunity for bread baking, for soup making, for just being among the brethren, being able to talk with each other. That is serving. When I served at the church for the first time, gosh, they needed help on the soundboard. I had never worked on the soundboard before. And I went ahead and said, sure, I'll take it for a month. It taught me not so much about how to use a soundboard. That was a little part of it. But it taught me how to adapt to things going on in the body. Somebody needed to be talked. Someone needed a listening ear. Somebody needed to they had a problem of some kind. Or there was something extra that had to be done. You had to go down and get a couple dozen donuts. Well, you did that. And you found out over time that you were able to serve. You were just there. You happened to be at the right place at the right time. Which I guess is God's way of saying you're in the place I wanted you to be at the time I wanted you to be. But it took a servant's attitude. It wasn't that they were looking for a certain functions like you would at work. They were looking for a willing heart to do whatever needed to be done. And the beauty, I think, in the body is that there are so many of us that God has gone ahead and spread things out. He's given us gifts. He blesses us with his Holy Spirit to grow us up. If you look I'm not one of those who has a computer savvy, so I'm going to book time right now. So if you want to follow in the Bible book, Tony would be glad to get you a Bible if you need one. If not, let's take a look at Romans chapter 6, 17 to 19. Romans chapter 6, 17 to 19. But thanks unto God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, God set up a place of slavery, he calls it. Servanthood, we can call it. He uses the word doulos to talk about slaves. Doulos were the type of slaves that they came to a point where the owner said, you can leave now. You've served me well. Appreciate it. We have a good relationship. You can go. And the slave could decide if they wanted to stay for the rest of their life with that owner. And if they did, they promised, I will give my life to you. I do it willingly. I give my life to you because I want to serve you. I've gotten to know you so long and you've been great. You've been a loving owner. What God is looking for is a change of heart in us to say, I will do what you want me to do. I don't know about you guys. I'm guessing right. Not too many people like to get up here and spout and give a speech or even to the point of giving the bulletin like Jeff does. I'll bet that Jeff doesn't really enjoy getting up in front of a group of people and saying these things. First, and amen. There is just something, though, that you say, okay, my fears aside, I will get up and do what needs to be done. Excuse me. Drying up. A slave goes ahead and says, I will serve where you want me. If you look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians 1:10. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant, doulos, of Christ. It's serving God. Sometimes you will find yourself in situations where you don't know what the ever-loving to do. But you say, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. I'm thinking this is you talking to me. I'm thinking this is you in the Psalms I'm reading. These are the things that are causing me to move and say, okay, I'll do it. So you jump into something, and you know what? It still may be uncomfortable. But it accomplishes something over a span of time where you see a change in yourself and you see the body growing, the church growing, because you're doing what you were meant to do. It's interesting if you look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 11. Colossians is not too far away from Galatians. Colossians 3, 11. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slaves or free, but Christ is all and is in all. We get caught up sometimes on having to impress or having to have a title or having to have some way that people go, oh, you're so and so. It's all about Christ. The worship team in the morning, perfect example. It's for Christ. It's not about, do I feel like going and doing that? It's not about, do I feel like I've gotten enough sleep for the night. We're all looking at it going, no, it's about Christ. It's about honoring Him. And you know what, folks? That spills into every part of our life. Whether it be your marriage, whether it be your work at the church, whether it be your job, whether it be your family, your kids. It's about serving Jesus Christ, and that's when it starts making a difference in your life. in areas that you never, ever thought it would happen. If you look over at, this is Daniel 6:20. It was way back there. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. Getting there, guys. Then at the break of day, the king arose and he went in haste to the den of lions. And as he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Daniel served God continually. And everybody was expecting him to be in little bite-sized pieces by the next morning. And the king was worried. The king didn't want to see it happen, but the king did what people wanted him to do. And old Daniel says, "Don't worry." Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. May my God send his angel, and he shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me." I think all of us go through the same kind of stuff. Can God really make a difference in my life? Can he get me through tough times? I know for myself that there are many times in the course of a day where I put God into a small box, thinking this is about the right size for him. It's facing the fact, who do I serve? Do I serve the living God? Do I serve the God that shows so many examples in the Word of how he changed people's lives? The Gideons, who couldn't and wouldn't on their own do what God wanted them to do, but believing and trusting in God, they accomplished a lot of things. If you look at Matthew chapter 20, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your doulos, your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Golly, you would think Jesus would come and expect some kind of good treatment, some consideration. I don't know about you guys. Thanksgiving time, you'll watch a football game and you'll start getting hungry. And the dinner's not quite ready and the hors d'oeuvres are all gone. And you start getting a little crabby and wondering why someone hasn't taken care of the bowl of chips out here and someone hasn't gotten that doggone turkey finished yet. That is just us. We want it our way and we want it now. And Jesus is one of those who says, you really want to grow up. You really want to mature. You really want to walk the walk. Serve. Go on, get up. Go into the kitchen with the bowl. Get some more chips in it and say, "My, that turkey looks good. I can't wait to light into it." And then turn about, go back into the room and wait quietly and patiently. Jesus is looking to change our hearts, and he does it in ways that we just don't expect. But he is still and always working in our lives. God, that's the part that I find, what do you say, encouraging. Because we don't all live those perfect days where everything we do is just right on target. A lot of times we spend trying to say, okay, flesh, get behind me, would you? And if you can't talk much louder than me, it takes a lot of screaming. God's working in our lives. If you look at James chapter 1, one through four. James, remember too, this James is the brother of Jesus. And you would think somebody that was the brother of the chief guy would get a little bit of recognition. What's James call himself? James, a servant, a doulos of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. There's a purpose for this stuff that we look at as a big pain in the keister. But it is growing us up. And for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I don't know about you guys, but it's like, I didn't write this thing. If I had written it, I would give you permission to go, there's Paparero spouting off again. It's probably not going to work. But if we base it on what God says, what he's doing in our lives, and what we've seen him do in other people's lives, my gosh, I look around this room and oh, you folks, I can see the impact he has had on your lives. You are changed. When you accept the Lord Jesus as Savior, you will be changed if you do it his way. It still requires us to walk in faith. If you look at Acts chapter 9, it is a great story. It's a great piece of history. Right after Stephen was executed by stoning, Paul went crazy going after the church. In Jerusalem, he was chasing the people out. He was jailing them. Nobody was safe. And Paul, as you know, through the epistles, is Saul just got fired up, ramped up, and he was going to go get those Christians and have them thrown in jail in Jerusalem. And he went and got papers from the chief priests that would give him the authority to go and arrest anybody he felt was following the way, following Jesus. So Saul gets up on his horse, he and his crew, and they go riding out to Damascus. And before they get there, light from heaven shines out, blinds him. He falls off his horse. And a voice comes out of nowhere. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Saul says, Lord, who are you? Gosh, when we think we've gotten to a point where we can't possibly change anymore, where God hates your guts, all you got to do is look at that story and realize God had a plan for Saul, Saul of all people. I mean, you can think of the worst person you can think of in history, and God would say, I haven't finished yet. this guy's going to have a choice of what he wants to, whether he wants to follow me or not. And that's what happened with Saul. Saul makes me think when he says, Lord, that there was something going on in his head. He may have on the outside been crazy about getting the Christians, but there was something on the inside of him that caused him to start thinking about this Christ. There must be something to it. And here he was, running off to Damascus to get things taken care of. And he ends up going into Damascus blind. He has to be led in. He can't see. He has no idea. He's going there to kill a bunch of, or jail a bunch of people. He has no idea what is going to happen to him there. But he used to run things. He was in fast lane for being the head honcho. He ends up being led in there and being taken to a place, left there, doesn't eat for 2 days, 3 days. He's wondering what's happening to him. It says, Jesus says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting, but rise and enter the city and you will be told what you are to do. Amazing. That's how God will go after you in a great way, in a blessed way. And he will do it in such a way that he says, serve, serve. And watch what happens. Now look at Ananias. This is the other person in this scheme of things. Chapter 9 of Acts. I'll start at verse 10. It says, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Does that sound like a servant? Yeah, you bet. Here I am. What do you want me to do? Sometimes it's not exactly what you want to do. Sometimes it doesn't sound favorable towards you when it comes to serving. Sometimes your spouse may make a statement that you go, she's right. I got to think about this. I can't go off the way I wanted to. Ananias says, here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, rise and go to the street called Straight. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. And behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. What would you do? You find somebody who is just known for wanting and taking vengeance on his enemy. And he's ruthless and he's had this reputation. He was even involved in the stoning of Stephen. He's done havoc in Jerusalem. And he's come to Damascus to wreak havoc. Ananias knew all this. The word gets around quick with people. And I love Ananias. And Ananias answers, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. He knew it. God's asking him to do something that he could face bodily harm, or he could face being shipped off to Jerusalem. If this is vision that he is hearing and seeing, if this is not right, and he's staking his life on it. If it's not right, he's gone. That'll be the last time they see Ananias in Damascus. Lord says, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. God, I don't know about you guys. Suffering is not something that I just don't mind stepping into, live there for a little while and go on. He is calling a Saul or Paul, who his name will be changed. He's calling Paul in order to get him to come and do God's bidding. And that bidding happens to be against everything that Paul ever thought about. He hated the way. But like I said, there was something in that too that makes me think Paul is so ready. And God knows his time has come. He's ready. That Ananias feels compelled to do this. He will obey his master no matter what. Because his master gave him the mention, the information that he, Paul, is going to be the one who's going to change and turn the Christian world around as far as carrying the word further than anybody else had, I believe, by that time. And he's going to write the epistles. And this is what we're going to listen to 2,000 years later. A lot riding on this servant doing what his master tells him. If you look at verses 19 to 22 on chapter 9, Paul, Ananias goes to Judas's place, talks to Paul, tells him God sent him. He wants him to accept Christ. Scales fall off Paul's eyes. He accepts Jesus Christ as his Lord, baptized right there. This is 2 days, 3 days since his being thrown off a horse. That's why I look at it and think Paul was waiting a long time, was thinking about this a long time in a way that nobody ever thought. God's causing us to change, or calling us to change too. And look at him differently. Look at him as Lord, which requires me to say, okay, I will do what you want me to. I will read my word to make sure that God, this is what you want. Do all I can to serve him. If you look at Philippians chapter 2, what do I have? 1 through 8. Philippians chapter 2, 1 through 8. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort from love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. That's the recipe, guys. It's not much harder than that. We wonder why he puts the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It changes us. It gets us with a more willing heart to do what he wants us to do. And all these qualities mentioned in here, it's like he's saying, that's what I want to develop in you. That's what he wants to make us like, so that we, wherever we go, Even if we go to the outskirts of Oregon someday, where no one else wants to go, wherever we are, God is spreading that favorable heart. He's changing us to do what He wants us to do. What we need to do is say, okay, I'll do it. Ananias, here I am, Lord. Do what you want me to do. If you look at, let's see here. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also on the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. You can have it. You have it. If you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have this in your heart. It's a matter of developing it. It's a matter of saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped and held on tightly and never let it go. It's not that way. But he emptied himself by taking the form of a doulos, a servant, being born in the likeness of men. He's our example. He's the one that we have to go and listen to and say, okay, Jesus, what do I need to do in order to handle this discussion with a buddy of mine? What do I need to do in order to handle myself at work when I'm being challenged to cheat, being challenged to lie? What do I need to do? Help me figure this out. And then he gives you something called a book called a Bible. And it's like I've said it before, and it's been set up here many a time, and it's read every week. Read the Word. It's amazing what that does in your heart. It's amazing what that does in your mind to get you to a point, excuse me, where you will listen. He changes hearts, guys. And he's getting us ready for heaven, where we will still be servants, still be doing what he wants us to do. We're being prepared here today. He's constantly working on us because he started a process in us that he's going to take to completion. Qualities. If you look at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I've got to read this stuff sometimes and go, did I hear this right? You're really saying, take everything in prayer. That can be my ticked off attitude because they don't have the potato chips out there in the bowl while I'm watching football. Does he say, be patient at those times? Does he say, concentrate on this? Do you remember what you read the other day? Yeah. It's as simple and as crazy as that. I've seen people with illnesses that the pain of it, they struggle with it, would cause somebody to say, what do I need this for? I've already done 30 years time in this and nothing's changed. And who changes their hearts? Who makes them individuals who are beneficial to those around them? Gosh, God's doing it in our hearts. He changes us as we want to become more and more like Christ. These are the things He puts in there. He gives us the word recovery. Maybe the effects of that Dodger loss have gotten to me. God's telling us, follow what He says in word, take it to Him in prayer, and watch what He does. Pay attention to what He does. If you look at Philippians chapter 1, 9 and 10. It's coming, boys and girls. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may prove what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. He wants us to learn how to love one another. Still amazes me. I keep thinking, gosh, we've got to have tons of people in here. We've got to have 300 coming to a service on a Sunday. We've got to have just, you know, a 10-piece band, and we need to have, you know, Tony come in a white robe sometime, something like that. We need these things. No, what catches people's eye is the fact that we love one another. How many times new people come in, and the thing they'll say that attracts them is the love of the body, for the body. And it's like, that's God working in us. It's God working in all the churches where the word is supreme, where the Holy Spirit rules the church. The church shows maturity by loving one another, helping each other, forgiving each other. All this stuff is going on. If you look at 1 Peter chapter 4. And where am I, kids? 4:7-11. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, and as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. We've each received gift or gifts from God to help us to serve. Serve in the church, serve in our marriages, serve in our jobs. Serve God. Billy's even doing that in your heart. Big old Bill. Bill needs him too. We all need him in order to receive that guidance that grows us up into be the mature and the strong Christians that he intended for us to be. And sometimes, like I say, people like Paul, you would never figure in a million years a guy would ever accept Christ. We have seen that happens otherwise. God's continually at work. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians 3:18, in 2 Corinthians, and we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's working in our hearts, guys. If you accepted Jesus Christ into your life, He is working in your life through His Holy Spirit, through His Word. Things are going on that we are aware of, and things are going on that only people around us see inside our lives, because we just don't recognize it sometimes. But He is constantly working to get us to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be like Him and to be changed into Him. I mean, He's looking for maturity in us. He's looking for us to worship God. Now let's go to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. He gives us the ability to be able to weigh things, to look at stuff going on in our lives, to say, is this the best? What am I, you know, what benefit is this giving me? God, I'm slipping further and further away from you. How do I get back? He gave us the Psalms to give us the wisdom to see what is really happening behind the scenes. He's trying to grow us up, mature us, getting us ready for heaven, getting us ready to serve Christ through eternity. And of course, there is fellowship. Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25, it says, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. This is the stuff He loves to see. God loves to see next Sunday, where we get together, we have meal together, we get to talk with each other a little bit, get to know each other more. And folks, believe me, for some people it's easy to do that. Take my wife, she likes to do that. We all have that aversion towards socializing and being around each other. Sometimes there are people who have mastered that, and I'd love to be like it. There are those like me who have a tough time, and it's always a new boxing match. But to drag me over there and get me to enjoy it and get my cup of soup and start talking to somebody I hadn't talked to in a while, and it turns out great. I leave there and it's like, this is a good Sunday. This is cool stuff. God does that in our lives. He's not saying there's perfection to be expected within the next 2 weeks. He is saying, you need this. This is all about God, it's all about salvation through Christ. Why? Because we're sinners. If it hadn't been for the cross, we'd be sitting at home complaining about potato chips and more. So just some final verses here. Philippians 4, 8 to 9. I love this one. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Because he talks about running a race. And anybody who's run, we've all run at least in high school. That might have been the last time we did it. But we remember those gym days when you had to run the 440. And you had to just run as fast as you could, and you could not look back. You did not want to mess up your stride. You stuck with it, and you kept the focus in front of you. Paul says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. It's not just belonging to somebody else. Oh, man, look at them. They're such great Christians. I wish I was like them. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He's calling us all the time. He wants us to run that race and not get discouraged. And when you mess up, when you didn't do it right, when you overlooked it, when you didn't care what anybody thought, you just had to be done with this, stick with it. Throw that stuff behind you and keep on charging for the line that says, I'm going to be like Jesus Christ someday. He is going to change me. And he's going to change you and make you somebody that you never would have recognized at the very first. But as it goes on, you realize, man, this was the right thing. This is the best thing I'd ever done for my life. If you look at Philippians chapter 3, 12 to 16. Oh, I just did that one. Whew. And you think it's being easy, Paparero, huh? Man, I'm telling you. Hey, surprised myself many a time. Well, then how about Philippians 4, 8 through 9? Does that sound like a nice trade-off? Oh, my. Poor Lisa. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Try that. Get something going on next week, and it's going to be heavy on your shoulders, and it's going to be a real pain in the keister. Pull that out. Look at old Philippians 4 and read that. God's using these things to change our lives. This is not just, let's go spend an hour and a half at a place on a Sunday morning and then let's get out of there. We've checked our card. That's not it. God, all of you folks made changes in your, there's been a change in your life that I can see, a definite different person. When you follow Jesus Christ, and when you fall, you get up and you keep striving towards that line, knowing that God's not lied to you. He is incapable of lying to you. He is telling you the truth. And that truth is what changes us. If you look at, and to say, concentrating on these positive things that you we don't hear them that often. In news and whatever else is going on, there is, it's vicious. That's just man's heart. Sometimes it just bubbles out to the top and you can't stand it and you can't change it right away. But there are things going on now that you've got to find the word. You've got to find time for it, and anything that coincides or agrees with the word, concentrate on that. Stay the course. If you look at 2 Corinthians 3, 4 to 6, okay. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. This is what we are to be concentrating on. This is where our confidence lies. God's given us gifts. Mike mentioned he can't sing. Dan mentions he can't organize. There are a lot of things out there. You folks look at yourself and go, I could do this for a million years and it would never, ever flow. But God did not forget you. He remembered us, each of us. And it doesn't matter about how many. I've got five gifts. Oh, you only got two. What are you doing here? We don't need you guys. God set it up like a body where everything is necessary for everything else. Break your collarbone and find out how many different parts of the body are affected by that little bone right there. It is amazing. God has changed us and has given us things in order to serve within the body and serve at home and serve on the job. It's just what we were made for, folks. So let's go ahead. I'll close in prayer. Father God, once again, we come to church on a Sunday with all sorts of things going through our head, all things that have to be done or just going blank because it's been a long week. But we're reminded in your word of how much you love us and the salvation that it came for us, came through Jesus Christ. And it's not something we have to make up, but Father God, it's just something we have to put between our ears. Help us in being able to remember your word and honor it. And be reminded of all the work you've done from salvation through Jesus to taking us to heaven and where we'll live with you for eternity. Thank you that you make a promise and stand by it and hold on to it. And you make the changes in our lives that we need. We come with you to you, Father, and with trusting hearts. And say like Ananias, here I am. What do you want me to do? Just thank you for this day, Father God, and all of your blessings you give to us and all the ways that you are with us through the course of a day. That you don't forget us. And that your Holy Spirit is in us, changing us to be better servants, to honor you and glorify you. Thank you so much for all of this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Have a good Sunday.